all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Tom Larson and Richard Mosley, both with the Motorcycle Relief. Tom, let's start with you. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Jim.
And Richard, you are an Army veteran and first responder and involved with the Motorcycle Relief Project in Colorado. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, and I'm out of California.
So let's try this. Tom, why don't we start with your background, which is kind of diverse, and you can work us up into how you got the idea, I suppose, and how you launched Motorcycle Relief Project about 5 years ago now.
Sure. My first career was in advertising. I was an advertising writer. After that, my wife and I kind of got the bug to do something to help people in impoverished countries. And so we moved to the Dominican Republic for a year. And then out of that, we started a nonprofit doing water purification in Latin America. And that was great. It really took off. It grew really fast. We went from a startup to having 30 employees in four countries and providing enough clean drinking water for over 100,000 people every day. And after 6 years, I just kind of hit the wall. I was struggling and burned out. And so we stepped out of that and someone else took over. It's still running today. But I went into kind of a dark funk and didn't realize how much I had really kind of built my identity on that work that I was doing. And when I wasn't doing it any longer, I had an identity crisis, went into a depression, ended up seeking help from a counselor. And as I started working with a counselor, at one point he suggested that we do a treatment called EMDR therapy. And I said, "What's EMDR?" I had never heard of that. And he said, "It's a treatment for PTSD. And I said, "Do you think I have PTSD?" He said, "Well, you have a lot of the symptoms of it, and I think this treatment could be helpful." So that was kind of my first exposure to the whole concept of post-traumatic stress. And shortly after that, I was at one of my daughter's volleyball games, and I was talking to another father who was an Iraq vet, and he had a service dog with him, and I didn't think he was physically disabled. I hadn't noticed anything in him that would require a service dog. So I naively said, "What's with the service dog, Mark? Are you training this dog?" And he said, "No, this is my PTSD dog." And he explained how the dog helped him and what it could alert him to. And I was fascinated by that. So I started looking into this whole idea of veterans and PTSD, which I knew nothing about. And about a week later, this all happened in a really short amount of time. I was sitting in my dentist's office waiting for an appointment, and I saw a photograph in a magazine of some guys riding adventure bikes through the woods on dirt. And I thought, what if you could use motorcycles in the backcountry of Colorado to bring people together to work on their issues who might not sign up for other programs, but because of their passion for motorcycles, this might be what would appeal to them. So that was how the idea got started.
It's always amazing how, a couple of dots, you start connecting the dots and something goes, wow, this is a good idea. And I wonder if anybody else would be interested in being involved. Richard, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and career through the Army and being a first responder and what led you to motorcycle relief?
Well, I was in the Army Reserves and had a couple of deployments to Iraq. Also at the same time in law enforcement for about 25 years. And I was really good at putting on a show, pretending everything was okay. But inside, I was definitely on a downward spiral. And both careers and deployments, as much as I wanted to deny it, took their toll on me. And I found myself in a hospital with PTSD. After getting out of the hospital, I went through a few different programs. But for a few weeks after the programs, you know, I was able to say, hey, I'm okay. But in reality, I wasn't changing. I wasn't getting better. I was still struggling. And during a real dark time, I honestly don't know how I heard about it. I want to say I was looking at my phone and something came up for the Motorcycle Relief Project. Well, I have a background in riding motorcycles and been involved somewhat with motorcycles, but I just really hadn't been enjoying. I hadn't been riding. All these other programs weren't catching or getting me the help I needed. So I applied for the Motorcycle Relief Project based on what I think it was just from a Facebook or something. And that was a turning point in my life. That was actually a definite turning point. It was the one program that kind of turned me around and put me on the right path and got me out of that dark hole. And it was the motorcycles were definitely the draw, but it was way more than that for me.
Well, I think that's a very good lesson for all of us to learn, Richard, and that is it may be a different type of therapy or program that works for you. This is trying to solve some of these problems is not a one-size-fits-all. And we on here on Veterans Radio have certainly talked to therapists who are into, you know, fishing and horses and skydiving and all sorts of different programs or modalities, as the docs like to call it. Because they're, you know, you have to find the right program or modality for the person. And in this instance, for both of you guys, it centered around that experience you get out riding. And let's talk about the nature of the riding that Motorcycle Relief Project does, Tom. This isn't speed racing on straightaways. Talk to us a little bit about what it does.
Yeah, we have a fleet of BMW dual sport motorcycles from 650s up to the 1200 GS. They're all they're all set up to be able to ride on dirt. But one of the things the BMW GS is famous for is it's great at carving corners in the canyons on pavement. It's comfortable long distance, but it's also a bike that you can ride on dirt. So we make those bikes available to people who apply for our ride. Some guys who already own an adventure bike ride their own on our ride, but normally the majority of participants on any given ride are riding our bikes. So we ride during the day. In Colorado, we ride from June through early October, and then the rest of the year, we've been trailering the bikes to Arizona and doing rides in Arizona. So we ride during the day, and we have a professional dirt instructor along with us who teaches how to ride these big bikes on dirt, because a lot of our participants are Harley riders or sport bike riders who haven't ridden adventure bikes before. So we give them some training and put it to use on some really fun, scenic backcountry dirt roads. And we blow off some steam and have a growth experience on the bikes. But then when we get back to the lodge, we have dinner together. We talk about our day together. And then after dinner, we retreat into the living room where we do workshops. And it's really the workshops that are the most therapeutic part of the program. The motorcycles are what brings everyone together because of that mutual passion, but it's the workshops and the group discussions we do in the evenings that I think are where you see the most light bulbs come on and the change happening.
And Tom, are these group discussions led by the participants themselves, or do you bring in outside facilitators? How does the Motorcycle Relief Project set that up?
Well, I function as the primary facilitator. We present some material. Either we'll read excerpts from a book that has some really good some good wisdom in it, or we'll talk about a certain concept. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a clinician or a counselor. In the early days, we did bring a counselor along on the rides, but what we discovered over time was that the participants on our rides, in our program anyway, were more inclined to open up about their own stuff without a professional in the room who they thought might be evaluating them or taking notes. So it's not therapy by any kind of clinical definition. It's really just putting a concept out there, talking about this concept, and then everybody discussing how that concept plays into their own life.
And Richard, you've had the chance to go on a couple of these rides, I understand. Can you tell us about your experiences in this sort of adventure dual sport riding for the purpose of kind of some healing, I suppose, of your situation?
I think the healing is the most impactful. Not to take away anything from any other program, but you talked about fishing and skydiving. Those sports or those activities, although they're fun and maybe get you out of the house for the day, for me, it was, you know, I've done those programs, but something was missing. For me, what was missing was the sitting around talking with other people that may have common or similar issues that they're dealing with. And what was very impactful for me, just like Tom said, it wasn't a clinical situation. It was a relaxed sitting around a living room after spending a day with somebody that you share, you know, the riding, the passion that we all kind of had at one time in our lives of riding, that the day cleared our minds. It brought us back. We had an enjoyable day. And then we're sitting in an environment that it's not a hospital setting. It's not a clinical therapy setting. And you throw out a concept, you throw out a conversation about things that are affecting our lives. And I'll admit, I said things in those on that couch talking with other people that I've never told anybody else in my life, things I struggled with even thinking about myself, with things that on my mind would put me in a very dark place. I was able to share things with people I had just met, and they were able to share things, that vulnerability and being able to express things you're dealing with, talking about these concepts that, you know, Tom's bringing up. When you're able to unload, when you're able to talk, when you're able to say things, and then other people can share their common bond with those issues that they're dealing with, it just opens up a conversation. And that conversation is extremely healing because you're able to share things with other people that actually understand. And it's a huge relief.
And one of the things that you've done, Tom, is this isn't a one-day ride and everybody gets, dinner and then they magically open up. You've actually got this constructed into a sort of longer program that probably facilitates everybody getting more comfortable with each other and talking. Tell us a little bit about how that is structured.
Well, they're five-day rides. It kicks off on a Sunday night with a welcome dinner where everyone introduces themselves and shares about their background. And you know, we ask on that first night, what could you use relief from? And that starts an honest conversation where the participants talk about what they've been struggling with. And then through the course of the week, we kind of try to build the riding so that it gets better as the week goes on. And we do the same thing with the evening workshops and discussions where as the week goes on, we start we kind of work our way up to the more the deeper material. And so we work really hard to create an environment of trust where there's no judgment, where nobody steps on each other's toes, where no one is trying to one up someone else with their own stories. We have some ground rules that we follow that facilitate that that feeling of it being safe to open up. And as the week goes on, the participants hopefully are able to let their guard down progressively as the week goes on. And like Richard said, talk about things they wouldn't feel safe talking about anywhere else with anyone else.
And veteran radio listeners, we're talking to Tom Larson of the Motorcycle Relief Project and with Richard Mosley, who has participated in such rides, an Army veteran law enforcement officer. Richard, when you've been on these, how many guys or gals are in the ride and in the room, if you will, after the dinner for the conversation?
There's 10 of us, about 10 of us participants that have been on the rides I've been on, and then a couple other, you know, Tom and then Mike, who helps them out. So the dirt riding coach, which on my rides has been a veteran also, or also a first responder. So I'm going to say anywhere from 10 to 15, depending on the group, in these conversations.
And did you find, Richard, that a little bit of this has to deal with getting out there and riding in the morning and if you will, having that controlled chaos or danger that sort of gets some of that energy out of you that makes it more likely you can have the after dinner conversation?
I think without a doubt, it's, you know, people joke about it's called wind therapy, but there's a lot of truth to that because you're focusing on your riding, you're paying attention, you're being mindful of what you're doing, the weather, the bumps in the road, the terrain, all the obstacles you're going through riding. You're focusing on something while you're riding, and in a way, if you think about that, these are all life skills. So you start the day talking about, you know, things to think about throughout the day, and you're mindful of what you're doing on the bike, but it also applies to life's lessons, being aware, being conscious, being mindful of things. So without a doubt, riding during the day opens up your mind to a healthy conversation at night.
Tom, you outlined in the beginning, you've had a really interesting career or life cycle here. You've done a lot of good for a lot of people all around the world, quite frankly. I'm kind of curious on how you view this component and what you're doing for those guys, you know, 10 guys at a time, you know, 5 days together. Where does that leave you? How does that leave you feeling?
That's a very deep question for me personally. On one hand, I've never done anything as rewarding and meaningful in my life as this, and I feel like it's kind of the culmination of all my life experiences brought me to this, to the opportunity to do this for a living. On the other hand, it's a struggle. The risk is real. People get hurt on our rides. A lot of times I scratch my head and think, is this really worth doing? It's intense. It's emotionally exhausting. I have continued to struggle with depression from time to time. So I feel like the Hair Club for Men guy. I'm not just the president, I'm a client too. I need these relief rides as much as any of the participants. And even though I've now gone through 28 of them, I still am impacted by every one of them. So for me, it's not so much an altruistic thing of me just serving other people because I'm such a good guy. It's that the stuff we talk about is very real to me. The struggle, I've struggled with the same struggles. I currently still wrestle with some of the same issues. So it's way more than a job. It's even way more than a passion for me. It's a need for my own personal growth and development.
I really appreciate you being that candid, because I sort of got that sense that I'm glad you're sharing that with our veteran radio listeners. I also know that any project like this, and you mentioned a number of the costs, physical, emotional, spiritual, but there's also a big financial cost to be able to pull this off. Tell us how that gets pulled together.
Well, all of our funding comes from individuals and corporations, foundations who want to help our veteran and first responder community, but who also understand the intrinsic therapeutic value of riding motorcycles. So we partner with companies in the motorcycle industry. Most of our donors are motorcyclists themselves. But all our funding comes from private sources. We don't receive any public funding at this point. So we don't spend any money on advertising. It's all word of mouth. The BMW Owners News publishes an ad for us in their monthly magazine that they don't charge us for. So that's how we raise money, is by just spreading the word however we can, and hoping that, you know, the right people who can understand the value of what we're doing will find out about us. Well, it's not an inexpensive program to run. Our insurance cost alone is over $30,000 a year. If you take our annual budget divided by the number of participants we're able to serve in a year, at this point, with the scale we're at, it comes out to about $4,000 per participant to go on one of our rides. It's a significant investment, but the results we're seeing, I think, warrant that investment, because we've had countless people like Richard be able to pull themselves out of a dark place and get themselves turned in a better direction as a result of going through this program.
Well, it's certainly great work that you're doing, Tom, and we're glad to hear, Richard, that you found such value in Motorcycle Relief Project. And Tom, if people are you know, inspired by this story and want to contribute or help or get more information, how do they do that to connect with Motorcycle Relief Project?
The best place to go is our website, which is MotoRelief, MOTO Relief.org. And you can find out about our program. If someone wants to donate, they can donate directly on our website. If it's a veteran or a first responder who is struggling with PTSD or related issues like depression and anxiety, there's an application right on our website that people can fill out to apply to be a participant in our program.
Richard Mosley out of California, thank you for your service to the community, both as a law enforcement officer and in the Army, National Guard, and Reserves. And Tom Larson, president and founder of MotorcycleReliefProject.org. Again, you're doing great work. Keep it up, and we on Veterans Radio are glad we're able to help share this word.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you. And thank you, Tom, for this great program.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.